So we have this general theme of glory runs through our readings. And in the gospel especially, we encounter, along with Peter and the other disciples, we get a glimpse into Jesus' glory. Now, we have our own glories. Suppose if we take an example from here, probably the glory of Father Ken would be my brothers, MGLs, and everything what we are, his glory. Probably I am reading too much into his heart. Well, my dad used to say, my glory is my brother. It's all right. And we may have so many other things. My pride, this is what makes me who I am. Looking at our children, we can say, here goes my glories. Or looking at something that we have achieved in our lives. Here it is, my glory. I built this church when I was the parish priest here. We can have different glories in our lives. And then, you hear all sorts of comments about the leaking church behind me. Good one. Everything is a glory. Now we have two characters, Abraham and Jesus. Now Abraham, it is an interesting character. He has been very faithful to God ever since he's called by the name Abraham. No more Abraham, you are going to be Abraham, the father of many people. Now Abraham is traveling with God. And we know Abraham is, his wife is barren and they don't have child. He struggles through his promises. God said, I will make you. Your generations will be plenty. You will have sons like the sands of the sea. Sure. Nothing happens. God made the promise to Abraham when he was 87. Poor Abraham, he thought, well, give it 10 months. 88, nothing happens. 89, nothing happens. 90, nah. 91, oh no. 92, he thought, maybe God is asking me to use my brain. So he thought, oh, maybe I have to go with Hagar and, you know, have a natural sort of planning and things like that. Oh, he thought I will go with Hagar and he got Ishmael. No, still he thinks it's not really my child. 93, nothing happens. 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 100. Man, 13 years of wait of the promise that God made to Abraham. Finally, he had a son of himself, Isaac. 13 years. Time is a big thing in the Gospels, in the Bibles. 13 years. And guess what? New baby in the home. Everyone is happy. They're like young people trying to learn to be mothers and fathers when they are 90. Imagine that. And then comes God. I want your baby, please. Can you take it to the mountain and kill it? The baby, after 13 years of wait, imagine, not only 13 years, after all this time, at the 90, they get the baby, and the baby, God is asking to Abraham, take your baby, sacrifice it for me. Abraham does do that. He does it. He takes the baby. He lies to the baby, where are you going, daddy? Oh, we are going to offer to the Lord. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Just doesn't flow, isn't it, if you're tired? So where's the baby lamb? Sorry, where's the lamb? And no lamb. Oh, no, no, God will provide. Here comes, he's tied on. He's tied up on the altar. And then God appears. He's very delighted. He's very delighted in Abraham. Now, Abraham's glory was not his wife Sarah. Abraham's glory was not his cousin Lot. Abraham's glory was not his sacrifice between Lot and himself. You take the better part of Jordan, I take the other side of the Jordan. No! Abraham's glory was God. And there is only one person in the Bible whom God called friend. And that is Abraham. If you look at Chronicle and Isaiah, you see only one person that is mentioned in the whole of the Bible as God calling friend. And that is Abraham. His glory was God. His passion was God. His heart and mind was not Sarah. Was not his little Ishmael, then afterwards little Isaac. No. We are mistaken. All through his life, childless life, painful life, all this life of a gypsy traveling, believing God's word, leaving to the place he is showing. All the time, his glory, his eyes, his heart was full of one person. One person. And God. And the biblical. And thereafter, the Bible called him rightly friend of God. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, if you do what I command, you will be my friends. I do not call you servants, but I call you friends. If you will become my friends if you do what I command. And then we come to the gospel. Another friend. Sometimes we say, oh, I am like my friend to my father. My son is like a friend. This is the biggest friend of God. Jesus, his son. The best friend of God. Why? Now up in the mountain, in all glory, Elijah and Moses, cloud. It's like whitening cloth, white. Jesus' cloth is so white. And Matthew says, no laundry man in the world cannot bleach it like that. But Jesus steps down. And when Father says, here, this is my son. Look at his heart, the heart of the Father. So much pride in his heart. So much joy and delight. Not because Jesus has got six pack. No. Not because Jesus brought these dumb disciples onto the mountain. Not because Jesus is achieving so many things, doing miracles and healing. But Jesus is convinced that he is going up to the cross to save the world. For Jesus, his whole glory, his whole will, his whole passion, for even his food is God. His doxa is God. And he will take anything to sacrifice himself. He will take any road to say that, for me in this world, what matters is my Father in heaven, my God. And Abraham did it in front of his wife Sarah, in front of the people who calls him barren, no child, in front of the whole clan. Abraham stood up and said, what matters for me is my God. I don't care. At the end of the day, he asked me to sacrifice my one and only child. And for Jesus, what matters is the will, the Father's will. He didn't care his popularity. People wanted to make him king. He did miracles, healings. And he could have easily become a popular figure. But rather, he chose to walk to the cross. Not because he was not convinced of anything else, but because his heart was fully in the Father. Chapter 4, verse 38 in John. My food is to do the will of the Father. Now there is a twist in this. How could Jesus said, my whole world is Father. How could Abraham so practically in taking steps prove that my whole will is my Father? They knew one thing, imago Dei, I am a child of God. That is why not Jesus is saying in the gospel, but rather Father saying, here, my beloved Son. Abraham knew deeply in his heart. Jesus knew in his heart that he is deeply loved and he is son of a father. And that is the joy and full delight of Jesus all through his life. Look at Gospels. He says, my Father and your Father. After resurrection, he says to the disciples, my Father and your Father. Because Jesus had a beautiful, radical relationship to God. A deep sense that I am an image of God. How many of us can say that I am an image of God? That I am deeply loved and I am a beloved son of the Father. Unless and until we come to realize the deep love of the Father, we cannot say that God is important in my life. We can say he is important from 7 to 9 on a Sunday evening. Or we can say, oh, he's important 10% in my life. Unless and until we know that we are beloved, we are loved by God. And it is true. Think about your own life. Do you really think that you are lovable? I mean, I go through at times, oh, I'm not that lovable. Is there anything that hindering you, stopping you fully to knowing that you are not a child of God? I was reading an article. An article says like this. 2-3 minutes more. Article says like this. You know, there is in human heart, you must have seen these novels like Wild at Heart, The Girl with Dragon Tattoo, or The Fire in His Belly. Something which is some sense human, at the same time go beyond it. If something shows the wild nature of people. You know, we look at some people, oh, he's on fire. Or we look at people, he's very wild. There is something, there is a wild nature in our life. There is a power lies within our hearts, within our lives. There is a power, special power in us. And many people identify it as a power which is given to themselves. They did not identify this power as if something that goes beyond them and connect to some big reality. So people like Hitler or some people, they realize they have a power within themselves and they won't connect this power to a bigger reality and they get into mistake. They use this power for themselves and to get famous. But when we know that we are deeply loved, we are created by God. We are created by God in His image and likeness, and He has given us His Spirit. We realize that we are much more than this body. We are much more than this body which can get cancer. We are much more than this body which can get crippled through an accident. We will realize there is something more in us. What is that? What does that say to me? That I am a child of God, that I am deeply loved. If you think that I was made because of the biological consequences of my father and mom sleeping together on one bed. Oh, if I was made because of the matter and blah, blah, blah. I don't know much science, so I have to go blah, blah, blah. If you think that, if you limit our understanding to that, of course. We cannot relate to something beyond that. But when we know that we come from a different place and there is something in us, there is something wild in nature in us that really want to connect to something beyond us, we come to know that we are more than what we see. We are more than our body. We are more than what we achieve in our lives. And Abraham, Jesus knew deeply that they are loved by where they come from, which is God. Abraham deeply knew, no matter what I have, son, or I have possessions, I'm loved and I give my life to him. Jesus knew. No matter what I do in this world, my life is for him. Maybe tonight, my friends, let us all, you and me together, search. He says something, maybe a sense of inferiority, maybe a sense of fear, maybe an event of abuse, tragic stories and sorrows which belittle us, which makes us think of ours as lesser human beings. Do you really think you are lovable? Maybe after long years of marriage, you think you are more lovable. Maybe after long years of looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you think you are not lovable. Maybe having a painful life with mental sickness and difficulty, you think, I am not lovable. Do you really think that you are lovable? Jesus says, the Bible says, we are created all in the image and likeness of God. We are beloved sons and daughters of God. When we deeply come to know that truth, we can give ourselves fully to God. So why don't we do this exercise? Let us turn to each other and let's say to each other, you are made in the image and likeness of God. Come on. And then let us turn to one another again and say, you are beautiful and lovable. Come on. So even if you still feel down and not feeling lovable, this is the mountain we have to come. We hear the Father's voice. You are my beloved son, beloved daughter. If you still feel down, bring all your sorrows, all your pain, all your inferiority. This is the mountain where Father comes to love us and make us known that we are much more beautiful. We are lovable because he has made in his image and likeness. So all through this Mass, let us bring and seek to encounter the Father's heart and the Father's love. Amen.